morning's reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 56, reading from verses 1 to 8. This is what the Lord says: maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, the man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord say, "The Lord will surely excuse me from his people." And let no eunuch complain, "I am only a dry tree." For this is what the Lord says: to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me, and hold fast my covenant, to them I will give, within my temple and its walls, a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, to serve him, to love the name of the Lord, and to worship him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain, and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered.
This reading is taken from Acts 8, verses 26 to 40. Philip and the Ethiopian. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go to the south road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared to Azotus and travelled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, everyone.
Let's pray before we go any further. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for those people who draw alongside us, as Philip did to this Ethiopian eunuch. We ask that you would draw alongside us now as we look at this passage, that we would learn more about who you are and grow in our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, as we've already heard this morning, a couple of stories of being in the right place at the right time. Of whether you've ever found yourself being in the right place at the right time. I heard a couple of examples of this. An example of an American novelist called Anne Parrish, who was going into a Paris bookshop in the 1920s. And she thought, "I'm going to look for my favourite childhood book. I can't find it anymore. I'd like to go and look at this book." And she went into this bookstore and found that very book. And when she opened it, it had her name in it. Isn't that amazing? She was in the right place at the right time. Or the a case of a pilot and his wife who were flying their plane, they must have had quite a lot of money, over their house a few years ago, and they noticed a stranger in their driveway taking their car. So they flew over the car, called the police, and the police arrested the person who'd been stealing their car. Or the case of a lady called Dorothy who had a heart attack on a flight in 2003. And when the flight attendant asked if there was any doctors on board, 15 cardiologists stood up because they were on their way to a conference of cardiologists, needless to say. Obviously, she was fine. Or yesterday, I looked slightly tanned because, wait for it, I was on a beach yesterday in Southport and we had no rain. It was my best friend's 40th birthday. I picked up the sun, or possibly windburn, I'm not sure which. And as I was driving back along the A14 last night, we'd had lots of clear weather, but then it started to rain. And as I came towards Kettering, there was just this corner of the most amazing rainbow. It was absolutely stunning. It was right at the end of the road. I was like, I'm going to drive into it. But then we went around a bend. But actually, it gradually appeared bigger and bigger over Kettering. And it made me cry. It was absolutely stunning. And it just reminded me of who God was. And I just needed that at that moment. I was in the right place at the right time. I wonder whether you've ever found yourself in that situation. Well, suffice to say, not surprisingly, Philip found himself in the right place at the right time in this passage in Acts 8. But of course, we know that that was no coincidence, don't we? We know that that was all down to the Holy Spirit. If we look back, we're thinking in this little bit of looking through the New Testament, we're looking at the birth of the church. And a few weeks ago, obviously last week, we thought about Pentecost. And before that, we thought about a couple of other things that happened. But since Pentecost, if we read through from the beginning of Acts to this passage here, we see God on the move by his Spirit, doing exactly what Jesus had said, from Judea to Samaria and beyond. And Philip was very much part of this. After Pentecost, the church grew rapidly. Such a fast rate. But then, if we read earlier into this chapter and before that, we've discovered that the church are persecuted. The church in Jerusalem are persecuted because of their faith. And they're scattered. They're scattered into Samaria, Judea, and other parts. Isn't that interesting? And I think that's quite a challenge sometimes, isn't it? That the way that these early Christians are scattered is because of persecution. And I'm not saying that's how God made it happen, but we can use whatever God places us into to bring to fruition the plans he has for us, the will that he has for us. So the way that Jesus' words come into fruition is through persecution. I find that quite a challenge. Maybe it's a challenge we need to recognise, actually, in today's world and in the world that we're facing bit by bit more and more in this country as well. So we're going to think about this passage this morning. But first of all, I want us to just think briefly about who Philip was. It would help if I put this on. Who was Philip? Well, if we look through Acts, we can find a few things about him. We can find that he was one of the seven that were appointed in Acts 6. So he was one of the seven that were appointed. You know, when they said, we can't have all these people waiting on tables, we need to get more people. So he was one of the seven that they appointed. If we look later on into Acts 21, we find out that he lived in Caesarea. In fact, at the end of this passage, we read that Philip goes on his way and he preaches the gospel, the good news, to lots of people, and then finds himself in Caesarea. He's also described as an evangelist. So in Acts 21, Philip is described as an evangelist. And that title is only used in a couple of places in the New Testament. It's used in Acts 21, it's used in Ephesians 4, and it's used in 2 Timothy. So the fact that if Philip is described as an evangelist suggests that, you know, this is a really important thing, that he had that gift of evangelism. I also like the fact that he had 4 unmarried daughters. They were prophets. How cool is that? You know, that's a really cool thing to remember and hold on to, that this Philip had 4 unmarried daughters, get in, and they were prophets as well. Sometimes just getting in those little details just speaks to us in different ways. I'd never noticed that before. So we find out a few things. There's a few passages that you'll find in Acts 6, Acts 8, and Acts 21. Earlier in this chapter, we read that Philip had preached in Samaria. And so he was one of those, as we've already seen, who was scattered. And in that passage, we read that Philip preached the word of God, that he performed signs and wonders. And that as a result of that, there was great joy in that city. That was the response to the good news. That was the response to the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Great joy. And I sometimes wonder whether we have lost that
Have we lost that great joy of the good news of the gospel of Jesus? It is good news. It's got that word in it which gives it away. And news got back to the apostles in Jerusalem, and they sent Peter and John in Acts 8:14. And it says, when the apostles heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God. That's amazing. Stories of how Philip had helped this whole area, these people in Samaria, to accept the word of God. That's who we're talking about this morning. That's Philip. And so we hear in this passage that an angel of the Lord told him to go down the road to Gaza, the desert road. And as he goes down this road, he sees a chariot. And the Holy Spirit tells him, excuse me, to go up to the chariot and stay alongside it. Now, have you ever thought about that? I've got this image of Philip sort of jogging along the side. Hi! Can you slow down? I don't know. But I've always had that picture of Philip just going alongside the chariot, speaking to this man sitting there. And as he gets alongside this chariot, he notices something, and we'll think a little bit more about what he notices. But the first thing to point out from this passage is that we see Philip obeying God. He's obedient to the angel of the Lord because he goes down that road to Gaza in the first place. And he's obedient to the Holy Spirit and ends up going alongside that chariot. So the thing we can see really clearly about Philip is that he listens to and he obeys the Holy Spirit. That God is involved in this. It's very clear, isn't it, that God is involved in this. And I wonder, how is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? How is he leading you? What is he saying to you about what he is asking you to do? That could be a big thing, it could be a small thing, it could be on a day-to-day basis, but how is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Well, you might say, well, it's all very well, you know, Philip was in tune. But actually, we can all do that. We can all listen to God. We can all obey him. Sometimes it means that we just need to grow in our relationship with God so that we can be more able to discern what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Maybe that's a challenge for us today. But Philip here, very clearly, obedient to God. So running, walking, whatever he's doing alongside this chariot, he meets this man sitting, reading Isaiah 53 out loud as he travels home from Jerusalem. Isn't that a gift? You know, most of the time we won't find that, will we? We won't sort of go along someone on a bike or in a car reading the Bible. But what a gift for Philip at this point. But who is the man that he meets in this chariot? Well, we meet this man called, we don't know his name, the Ethiopian eunuch. What we can find out about this Ethiopian man is that, well, the first thing to recognise is he'd been worshipping in Jerusalem. So in some way he was God-fearing. He was wanting to know more. We don't know whether he was had a Jewish background. We don't know very much about him, apart from the fact he had been worshipping in Jerusalem in some way. We also know that he worked as an official for the Queen Mother, who would have been the person who would have done a lot of the functions for the king. He was basically Chancellor of the Exchequer for the Queen and for Ethiopia. We know, as I've just said, he was on his way back from Jerusalem, that his home was the Northern Nile region. We also know, because it says in the title of who he is, that he was a eunuch, which very likely means that he was childless and unmarried. Important detail to hold on to. And this man has found himself a scroll of Isaiah, and he's reading through this scroll as he sits in this chariot on his way home. And he's reading it out loud because that is the way they would have read the scripture at that time, partly because it was the easiest way to read, but also because it's the easiest way to read Hebrew, and it wouldn't have been unusual for him to do that. And so this man is sitting in his chariot, and suddenly this guy comes along the side of the chariot. You know, hi! I'd like to make a film of this bit. I think it'd be quite fun. And what happens next shows us a few things, and it shows us a few things, particularly about evangelism. Philip, first of all, says this: do you understand what you're reading? Now, I have no doubt in my mind that it wasn't patronising in the way he said it. Do you understand? You know, it wasn't like that. Because the Ethiopian responds in a way that is okay. And what he does is he invites Philip to come and join him in the chariot, which is much better than running alongside it, and reading the Bible, reading scripture with him to help him understand it. What an invitation from this Ethiopian. And I love this because it just reminds us of the importance of scripture. And sometimes that we need to help others read it. Sometimes we need to help others understand it. So if you're struggling reading the Bible, and we all do at times, who are you reading it with? Maybe there's someone that you could ask to help you. Someone maybe who has been a Christian for longer, or maybe got more experience, whatever it might be. Or in a roots group if you're not in one. Because it's not enough to just read the Bible on a Sunday. We actually need to read the Bible every day. But it's really important that we get into it, that we get into God's word, so that we can grow in our faith. Because when we grow in our faith, we can do more of what Philip does and understand and discern what God is saying to us. So who have you got walking alongside you, helping you understand scripture? Or who are you walking alongside? We can actually do both at the same time. So Philip takes the Ethiopian eunuch through this passage in Isaiah 53. And I'm sure he uses other scripture as well to help him explain the good news of Jesus. But hold on to the fact that he wouldn't have had any of the Gospels. That he'd have done this through the Old Testament. He'd have done this through Isaiah and other books like that. Maybe the Psalms, things like that. And so if you're unsure about how to help someone get to know Jesus, follow Philip's example. Use the Bible. Use the Word of God. You can do no better than take them to the source. Take them to God's Word. That's what it is, isn't it? Reaching out, evangelism, is helping people understand who Jesus is, which is exactly what this Philip does. It's about showing who Jesus is and the good news of Jesus. He didn't have loads of visual aids. I think he'd have found that little leaflet that Rosie's done really helpful. Maybe that's a way you can do this. Maybe with some scripture in there, Bible verses that mean something for you. He simply went through scripture. Now, I've already said we know that Philip was the evangelist. And I think it's quite good that we don't know what he said here, because it might make us feel inferior in some way. Because this isn't about replicating his words. It's about speaking from scripture about Jesus, from our own experience about Jesus, and so that other people can hear the good news. So what about the response that we hear from this Ethiopian? Well, we know that Philip had already brought people to faith at Samaria, but there he preached to big crowds and they accepted the word of God. Here, he's speaking to just one person as they travel along this road. Both ways are good, but what are the similarities? Well, look at this response. In both cases, if we look back to earlier on in Acts, we read that the people in Samaria were baptized. And here, the Ethiopian, he says, there's some water. Why don't I get baptized? That's his response. That's amazing, isn't it? Right away, he's heard about Jesus and he says, well, there's water. I might as well get on with it. Responding to the good news. And I want to ask all of us today, whether you're a Christian, whether you're not, what is your response to Jesus? What is your response to the good news? Many of us have been baptized or confirmed many years ago. But each day, each time we read scripture, each time we hear about Jesus, demands us to respond to the good news of Jesus. So it might be a slightly weird question, but what is your water today? What does you say? That's how I need to respond today. Maybe it is recognizing that you are capable of going and talking to other people. Maybe it's recognizing you just need to give your life again to Jesus. What is your water? There's more in the response, though, because after Philip is transported away by the Spirit, however that happens, the Ethiopian goes away rejoicing. Just as the people in Samaria had done, he goes away rejoicing, full of joy because of the good news. The good news brings joy. Let's never lose that. But I want us to think about why this might have been especially true for the Ethiopian eunuch. And to do that, I want us to just think back to that reading that Nana read us earlier on from Isaiah 56. Because I wonder whether Philip took the Ethiopian further into Isaiah, beyond the passage he was reading. Isaiah was speaking into a time where neither eunuchs nor foreigners would be allowed into the temple to worship. This man was both of those things. If we look back to the Old Testament, the foreigner would have been cut off from the covenant and the blessings by birth. And the eunuch, having no offspring, would have been blotted out. That sounds really, really horrible to think about, doesn't it? But in the Old Testament, we see that people's inheritance, their sort of life after they die, if you like, would have been seen by their name living on, either because of the land they had or because of their offspring. If you had none of those, it was like your name was blotted out. That's hard for us to hear, isn't it? But in Isaiah 56, we find a passage which speaks of the promise of a hope of new and everlasting relationship, an inheritance that cannot be cut off. And that comes by being an offspring of the servant, which of course is a description of the Messiah, of Jesus. And so with Jesus, this changes. Our inheritance, our name going on, is not about being born into a Jewish nation. It's about being right with God. It's not about having offspring. It's not about your marital status. It's not about your land. It's not about your nationality. It's about Jesus. And how important is that on Father's Day, that it's not about being a father? It's not about being married. It's about having a relationship with the Heavenly Father. That is the most important thing. So this man, this Ethiopian, could have been seen as an outsider. He was African. He was a eunuch. But Isaiah 56 speaks of a restoration and hope for this very man. This man, a foreigner, a single person, childless. Can't think why I like this passage. I wanted to read you a quote from a book which I've somehow left in my handbag. But it's a book called Redeeming Singleness. And it goes through the whole of Scripture looking at singleness. And it's a fantastic book. It's really helpful if you want to look at it. But what it talks about is all of that. It talks about the fact that, we don't know what Philip took the eunuch through. But wouldn't it have been amazing if he'd read Isaiah 56? Wouldn't that have been just incredible for his eyes to have been opened and for Philip to say, this is what Jesus has done. This is what Jesus opened the way. So whether we're married, whether we're single, whatever nation we're from, whether we have children or not, what is important is our relationship with Jesus. It's all about him. We know that, don't we? But sometimes we don't necessarily live it. Maybe that's a reminder for us this morning that it's all about Jesus. It's not about anything else. Let me just remind you of those words from Isaiah 56. To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. So if you're sitting here today thinking, well, I don't fit into the norm, I don't count, I'm not like married with 2.4 children, whatever it might be, don't let that stop you responding to Jesus. Because in Jesus, you can find restoration in hope. In Jesus, you can also find this joy that the Ethiopian finds. He is the first African Christian. How cool is that? All that is required is a heart responding to Jesus, loving him and living for him with everything that we have. Of course, recognizing that we mess up, but knowing that we have forgiveness because of Jesus. Do you know, I would love to chat to this Ethiopian. I'm looking forward to meeting him about his response. Because I want to know what he went on to do. I want to know how many other people he told about meeting this man on the road to Gaza. How many people he told about Jesus. Surely he would have told many. What is your water today? How are you going to respond? So the Ethiopian is baptized and he leaves rejoicing. But before he leaves rejoicing, Philip is suddenly taken away by the Lord. And this eunuch sees him no more. So the final thing I just want to point out is about Philip. Philip was there for a specific thing. In some ways, he is God's agent in this situation. A bit like Rosie's been God's agent in a number of situations that she was sharing with us there. And what we were hearing about the prayer visiting team as well. Sometimes the Holy Spirit puts us in people's lives for a specific moment, and we are called to speak out and to take that opportunity. And often we won't see the outcome. We might not get a card back. But just think of the seeds we're sowing. Just think of the way the Holy Spirit is working in that person's life. What might happen if we took Philip's lead and were led by the Holy Spirit in that way? If we spoke out, if we walked with someone on a brief journey and opened up the Bible with them or pointed them to Jesus? Because the fact is, we are God's agents today. You are God's agent today in the power of the Holy Spirit. In this passage, it's clear that the Ethiopian was ready. He'd been to Jerusalem. He was asking questions about God's word. The Holy Spirit was already at work in him. And Philip was the way that God chose to bring the Ethiopian to Jesus. So who is God working in around you? Where is the Holy Spirit at work
Because he is. I can assure you who he is, because in the last few months we've had a number of people come to us who have known very little, if anything, about Jesus, and have given their lives to him. It's absolutely amazing. Surely that is the Holy Spirit at work. One of them was hopefully going to be baptized next term, couldn't be at last week because she was away. But she walked into church 3 weeks later, she gave her life to Jesus. Absolutely stunning. And she's causing the Young Adults Alpha Group lots of questions, which is great. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to be at work in people, but that we are able to be God's agents, to listen to the Spirit's prompting, to pray for opportunities to speak of Jesus, to be bold, because we know that the Holy Spirit is with us as we do so. We may never know the outcome, but we might one day. We might one day. So what is your water? How are you going to respond to Jesus? And let's go from here in the power of the Spirit, asking the Spirit to guide us and to point us to those people. Amen.